Go to 1 John, please, chapter number 1. Did y'all have a good week? Okay. Justin, you doing okay? All right. We like to tease Justin. He's got a perpetual smile on his face. And his dad frowns all the time. Wondering what he's going to say next. Okay. That's this morning. You got your spot? Let's pray first. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the marvelous privilege to be in the house of the Lord. I pray that you might work in every heart. Pray that you would, Spirit of God, speak to us. Lord, I pray if there be one amongst us that knows you not as their Savior, today would be the day of salvation. Lord, perhaps there are some other needs that are spiritual and they're heart pressing. God, I pray today that you might work upon that heart and give them what they need. We thank you for the Word of God. I thank you especially for this chapter, and I pray that you would just have your way and will in all we do or say. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter number 1. Verse number 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. I want you to notice something there. With the word. A proper noun is specific. It's not generic. And it's the name of a particular person, place, or thing. Proper nouns are always capitalized in English, no matter where they fall in a sentence. And because they endow nouns with a specific name, they're also sometimes called a proper noun. The word is a proper noun. It's the name of a person, place, or thing. I believe that when we look at the context, it is speaking directly of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go on, verse number 2. You'll see why I say that. We find this in parentheses. And it's after the word of life. It says, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. This term, Word of Life, is extremely important. I believe they're reminiscent of from John chapter 1. You remember John 1:1? It says, in the beginning was the Word. It's a capital letter. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you're Jehovah's Witness this morning, I'm sorry, your Bible reads different than what mine does. Mine says the Word of God, or the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, verse number 14 of that chapter, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I believe it's clear from these verses that the Word is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we find here? John is speaking of their time with the Lord. Do you realize it tells us in verse number 1, which we have heard, they got to hear his very voice. I wonder sometimes, did he have a booming voice, or was he soft-spoken? Was it in the tenor range, or was it in the deep range? Later on we find, when it says, no man speaketh as this man, and he speaketh as a man in authority. We go to the book of Psalms, we find that his voice is like that of many waters. I don't know if it's a small stream, it sounds like with many, it's a large. And you could hear him, unlike myself, this morning. We also see they looked upon him. They saw him. Can you imagine, what did Jesus look like? Did he appear as a common Jew? Or did he have some kind of thing about him that set him apart? I don't believe he wore a halo, as some pictures show. But I do believe that his appearance was with humility and control. You know, we find that artists have tried to draw pictures of Christ, and it's only their concept. Most of them I reject and actually deplore, because they make him almost sad. They make him one who is not strong and enduring. By the way, he was not a Nazarite. A Nazarite took a vow, and in that vow, he would allow his hair to grow long. Jesus was a Nazarene, which means he was from Nazareth, but he was not a Nazarite. The Bible teaches us that long hair on a man is a shame. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 14 says, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. I find something else here. It says that they handled of the Word of God. They actually got to touch him. Nothing quite as personal as a touch. I learned something this morning. Do you know that you could do hand hugs? Do you know that? Come here, I want to show you how to do a hand hug. You got to stand over here so I can see it. Put your hand up there like mine. There you go. And you squeeze the top thumb. Well, it's the only thumb. That's a hand hug. But there is something personal. There's something comforting. And that's the touch of another. Thus, we shake hands. Some of you practice hugging. And those things are needed in our lives. We also think of his hands. And we think of their hands, I should say. And they got to minister unto him with their very hands. We notice here in verse number 2, John was excited for us to have him manifest. That word manifest means make known. Have him manifest to us as the author of eternal life, as he was to them. Notice again, the life was manifest. We have seen it, bear witness, and show unto you. That's us, that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested, made known unto us. Thus all they saw and heard is declared in us. And when you and I believe their witness, we also can have fellowship with God. And I believe that's what verse number 3 is teaching us. That's what we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Thus, all of this was written, it says, for our joy, for our joy. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Think about that. Fullness of joy. Let me give you some thoughts of my own here. A lot of people are striving to be happy. Happy comes, I believe, with our circumstances. There are people who try to control your circumstances so they can be happy. And most of us don't like that kind of individual. But we find the joy doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. Throughout the word, we are admonished to rejoice. Have joy again. Fellowship, I think, as we look at these two verses, are put together, and they are that which is one. So they are linked together. We can have this fellowship from the Word through the disciples. Thank God for that. Let me think about a few things here this morning. As the Word is essential to our fellowship, is it not also essential to our salvation? We find it, since salvation comes by faith, faith is believing what someone has said. And if we believe what someone has said, then we must have heard something. In the book of Romans chapter 10, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Someone needs to tell us. By the way, if you're saved, you need to be telling. By the way, it's not just at a visitation time. It's throughout the week. It's essential to our salvation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It won't be too many days, weeks, or months that I'm going to experience that, from death to life. I'm still looking for the undertaker, but the undertaker's been keeping his eye on me. But anyway, we'll see what God has. My kids get upset when I talk like that. It's essential to our salvation. But I would say this as well. It is essential to our sanctification. That word sanctification basically means that you've been set apart. He's cleaning you up. He's making you into a new individual. In John chapter 17, verse 17, it says this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It's amazing how the word of God connects over and over. Also, I believe that fellowship is when one or more are observing God's word. Verse number 7. It talks about if we walk in the light, he's in the light. We have fellowship one with another. I believe this is done three different ways. Think about this. If the word of God saved you, if the word of God sanctifies you, and you sit down and study it, won't that mean that you'll become more set apart as you allow it to have an impact on your life? So there's individual Bible study. We ought to all have those times. But I believe also there is fellowship in group Bible study where we can learn from each other. As God's given us one thing and God's given another. Most people will say, when I read through the Bible, the next time I see things I didn't see the first time. Well, I've been through it more than 80 times, and I'm still seeing different things. And also, I believe this is done through preaching of the Word of God. Most people don't think about us in fellowship right here, but are we not, as you listen to the preacher, hearing spiritual things, hearing about God, as you are with other people? I believe it's essential to our fellowship. Fullness of joy, as he speaks about in verse number 4. Also, we've mentioned it, but it comes through the Word of God. You know, there's joy in knowing we have a Savior from our sins' debt. It's joy to know, hey, if I die, I'm headed to heaven. I'm going to be in His presence for all of eternity. There is joy in knowing our salvation is secure. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I asked this morning, how many have ever canned something? You had the jar, you had those little lids, and you put the heat to it, and then you allowed it to cool. And when it got so cool, that little lid would pop, and you knew that it was sealed. Almost all items nowadays, it seems like they're sealed. You go by a package of nails, and some of them are sealed. Listen, you get a package from UPS and need a knife and pliers and maybe a hammer to get it open. But thank God, our salvation is secure. I remember a day years ago, Brother Tom Peace, missionary we supported for many years in Brazil, he was concerned about me. I think I could look back and see why now. And he threw me aside into a little room, and he sat down, and he opened the Bible, and he says, Gene, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Up until that point, I would say no. Matter of fact, I had a friend who was a barber, and we would talk about people like you and I that believed that once saved, always saved. And we would laugh about it. And I said, no, I don't. And he took the word of God and took me through the Romans road. And we got to verse number 13 of chapter 10, where it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, gee, have you called? I knew that I had done that. And he says then, what does the word of God say? It says, shall be saved. Praise God for that. I'm secure in him. I believe there's joy in the promises of God. The promises of God. of eternal hope in heaven. Promises of prayers being answered. Promises of our needs being supplied. But also, one last thing. I believe from verse number 5, fullness of joy comes through witnessing. Since this then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Was John sad when he wrote those words? I think not. And so we find that he had joy. Nothing beats watching a new birth of a soul. Nothing beats it. I remember I had a bus route in Pontiac, Michigan, and I had the poor area. It was called Kegel Harbor, and a lot of people wouldn't go there, but I was too dumb to know that. And so every week, I would go and knock on doors. I came to this house, and there were two young girls that came to the door, and I talked to them about coming to Sunday school. And then I said what I always say to people, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And they said, no. I said, would you like to know? They said, yes. You got to understand, about 3 weeks before that, one of our professors said, are there any people here who've never won a soul to Christ? And I was ashamed. But on that day, there were two young girls that got saved. I got a double dose of what it is like to win a soul to Christ. That's never changed. What a blessing it is. Brother Blue and I, when we get done dealing with a soul and they get saved, we'd go out to the car, roll up the windows, and just start shouting. We were nuts, but we were having fun. What a joy it is to be able to win somebody to Christ. I will tell you this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it'd be great joy, not only this preacher, but these people, that you'd get saved. Let me tell you how we can accomplish that. Number one, I don't know who you are. I can guess, but I don't know who you are. Secondly, you need to know who you are. If you're a sinner, you need to be saved. Thirdly, if we're going to help you, then we have to know that. And the way we do that is we're going to be singing a song. Everybody be standing. If you just walk out of your seat and come down here, then we can know. And we'll have somebody take you aside and help you to understand completely. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for each one here today. Lord, I don't know what voice I've had, but thank you for what you've given me. I pray that you will work in hearts. I pray if there's one here today without Christ, this would be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray that we might recognize the great fellowship we could have in you as a result, and the fellowship we could have with others, and the joy that is ours. Work and bless in these moments. We pray in Jesus' name.